thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you so much for the way, I can say personally, you've impacted my life, my family's life, so incredibly. Thank you for the way you've touched so many people in here. You've made your indelible mark. You've shown us how good you are, and so many of us have just fallen in love with you. We thank you for all you are and all you do. And as we talk about this story this morning, it's really about you, as you know, and I ask that you would help me to communicate well, and you'd help us to learn more about you, and maybe to be changed a little bit, our faith would grow. We just officially say welcome and let your presence reside upon us. You called yourself king, and you said when you came, Jesus, that with you came the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, and we want to ask, let the kingdom of God be upon us, the rule and reign of God upon us in this gathering. So we welcome you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know what we're doing today, that's possible, you know, I'll just tell you. The quick background is I'm a pastor here, and in April I had a stroke, and three strokes actually, and I've had a journey. And this is the first time that I've been speaking to our congregation since then. On April 20th it happened. That's what I'm going to... Oh, thanks. So I'm going to not sermonize so much with you like I normally would preach a sermon like a pastor often does. I'm going to more tell my story and hopefully draw out some things that I experienced that point to God. I guess you could say my life purpose, my dream for my life, is that people everywhere, and as much as I can help this happen, people would experience a revelation of how good God is, how glorious he is, a revelation of all of his nature through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I probably bet all of you know that name, Jesus, was a guy that lived on the earth 2,000 years ago. He claimed to be the Son of God, claimed to be man, too. He called himself the Son of Man, taking a title from some Old Testament, Old Hebrew, Old Jewish prophecies that came thousands of years before he came, saying that one day someone called a Son of Man, who would also be God, would come to earth and start putting everything to rights, because obviously things are not great here. They're great, but they're not great. There's evil, there's shootings in schools, there's abused children, there's tragedy all over the place. We just saw people in Angola dealing with the problems of minds and bodies hurt. And Jesus came and said, those prophecies that one day God would set everything to right and he would establish his kingdom, that God himself would be king, I'm the guy, I'm that one. I've come, and I'm going to establish God's kingdom on earth. Now, God says in the Bible that for him, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. For God, that was like 2 days ago. For us, it's a lot longer than that, right? I mean, seriously, from God's perspective, this hasn't been very long at all. For us humans, it's like, dang, that's a long time. And if you're king, it doesn't seem like you're doing a very good job, we might say, because look at all the trouble. But on the other hand, he said, I'm going to do things in a surprising way. First of all, I, the king, am going to be killed on a cross, a Roman way of execution. And when I do that, I'm going to do it sacrificially. When my blood is shed, it will be a sacrifice that takes care of the need for forgiveness and cleansing of the sins of all of humanity, the root behind all of the trouble that you guys have. I'm going to do that. But then I'm going to really prove that I am the one that I say I am by 3 days after I'm publicly killed. I'm going to publicly rise from the dead. And I'm not just going to be resuscitated to die again, but I'm going to have a new body, a kind that will never die. And then the Christian teaching is it's the first fruits, like at the beginning of a harvest, of what's going to happen to everyone who puts their faith in God. And he said, you know, you'll know this is true because I'm going to rise from the dead. And then he did it, and did it in front of a lot of people for a long time. After Easter Sunday, we call it in America, but after his resurrection, he was around on the earth for over 40 days, meeting sometimes with one person, meeting with hundreds of people, so many eyewitnesses that it was undeniable. And if you read the Bible at all, that's what I have in my hand, you read the eyewitness accounts of various people. One time, I think it was 500 at a time, were there when he was speaking to them. So he said, not only am I going to rise again, but a day is coming in the distant future when I will fully establish my kingdom. My kingdom is now, it's already started, but it's not going to be fulfilled until I come again. So we live in this interesting time where things look bad, but yet we get a real live taste of the good that's coming. We get a foretaste of the powers of a coming age now. And things that happen are like, in that age, there'll be no more sin. There'll be no more bad people. In this age, while we're waiting for that to happen, we can put our faith in him. And he says, what I'll do is I'll put my spirit in you. And I'll change you from the inside out so that you will not be the way you were before. And you'll see things change. Well, here's an example of how that kingdom is actually working in our world. What was once a really frightening thing, a cross, used by the Roman Empire to put terror in the hearts of anyone who would dare oppose the emperor. If you oppose the emperor, we're going to hang you publicly on this cross and kill you slowly and painfully. So people all across the Roman Empire were terrified of disobeying the emperor. That cross now is what you see when there's a tragedy somewhere in the world. You see the Red Cross, right? And that's where people, under what began as serving King Jesus, come and feed the poor and deal with the wounded and minister all kinds of ways, sometimes very naturally, sometimes with supernatural power from God, to address wrongs. The kingdom of God's at work. Our sins can be forgiven now. We can actually begin to live in righteousness. In fact, we're going to have a baptism, we said later today. If you don't know what baptism is, it is an outward picture of resurrection. It's a picture of dying, being buried, going underwater, and then rising again to brand new life that Jesus experienced, and he said we will if we put our faith in him. So, I mean, that's a short, I sermonized, didn't I? I told you I wouldn't. There's so much more to say, but I'm one of the couple billion people on the planet that actually believe all that and have had my life change and have this burning desire that anyone that I can meet, maybe some of you here, would have a revelation, an understanding of how amazing Jesus is, how it's really true that we can begin experiencing his life now. And, you know, part of the conundrum is that he came, but he didn't wipe out all evil completely. And so people still have strokes and bad things happen. But it's different because he said these kinds of things to anyone who would follow him. Don't fear, I'll be with you. And I'm going to tell you that I went through a difficult time, but I was never alone, and God was with me. And that's part of the story that's going to come out. I don't want to forget to tell you this, because I like to tell this story, and I might forget, so I'll say it now. I see my dad is here. Just wave your hand. That's my dad. And in January of 2017, he died. And as you can see, he's very much not dead anymore. Apparently, he was mostly dead. And as you know from Billy Crystal, there's a big difference between all dead and mostly dead. So I like to say that he died on January 3rd, and he came back on January 4th, because on January 3rd, around 8:30 at night of 2017, he had a massive heart attack and was gone. And after midnight on January 4th, he came back, and the doctors began calling him the Miracle Man. And if you see him walk, you go, wow, I would never have guessed. He's looking good. That would be just one example of the kingdom of God breaking into our life right now and letting us taste of the powers of the coming age. You with me? Yes. So the only reason I'm telling you my story is because of that reality in my life. And I won't like try to trick you. If you're here and not a follower of Jesus yet, I'm telling you right up front, It's my desire that by the end of the day, you're going to say, you know what? I want to join the community. I want to follow Jesus too. I'm starting to meet him, and my heart is warmed with love for this guy. I want to know this guy who said he was God, who said his spirit would come and dwell people, and now there's like 2 billion on the planet that are serving him, and they believe it. And I would love you to join us because your life will never be the same and because he deserves your life. One day, I believe, Jesus will return to this earth, and it will no longer be like it's been right now where he's persuading and inviting. On that day, the planet will see that he is indeed king, rightful Lord of this planet, and every knee will bow as knees bow before a king in heaven and on earth. And everyone will say, he surely is the Lord and King. And the joy is to do that now before he comes. So, good? My story began, it really begins on Wednesday, April 18th of this year, but I'll try to get to that later because my experience of my story started on April 20th, Friday morning. I got up preparing for a pretty early and busy day. I got up kind of early that morning. I had an appointment at 6:30 and an appointment at 8 lined up. And so I got up and had some granola and berries and was drinking some coffee and just planning yet another one of my busy, good days. I was, after my appointment at 8, I would come to the church. We were having a conference here, and I'd stick my head and look and see what was going on with that. Then I'd spend the day probably preparing to preach a sermon on the coming Sunday. It was going to be a big day. And I was drinking a cup of coffee, getting my mind woke up, you know, and going. And I was in my kitchen, and there at around 6 a.m. was my wife, Kim, that you just heard. Isn't she beautiful?
Yes.
26 years of joy for me. So I was just talking with her, and Trish, who's sitting right back here, Trish is like this. Trish saved my life. So Trish, and by the way, it's another part of the story, but the Lord had spoken to her that she would be useful, used by God to protect my life. Not that many days before. Isn't that amazing? So she happened to be in our kitchen at 6 a.m. because she was spending the night at our house because she was going to that conference and didn't want to have to drive up and back from Menifee where they were living at the time and wondered, was there a place that maybe she could stay? We said, you can crash at our house. So there she was. We were talking, and I suddenly had a really loud ringing in my ears. And then it turned into almost like a buzzing loud, just loud, both ears, and I began to feel lightheaded, and I thought, I think I'm going to black out. You know, have you ever blacked out? You know that feeling? Things start to kind of close in a little bit. So I set my cup of coffee down, and I said to them, I feel like I'm about to black out. I'm going to sit down on the floor, so if I do, I won't fall and hit my head on something. So then I quickly went down to the floor, and Kim said, Can you put your head between your legs and try to, you know, if you ever had that thing where you put your head between your legs and you get your kind of strength back? Well, Trish said to her, you need to call 911 right now. And Kim and I are cheapskates. And both of us are thinking, 911, that means ambulance, that's going to be a big bill. Couldn't we just take a Tylenol, maybe a cup of water, take a nap, sleep it off? And Trish said, this looks like a stroke. And Kim was, really, 911? She said, yes. So she called 911. The ambulance began to come. As the ambulance is coming, all of a sudden the left side of my body goes numb. Not a good sign, right? And so they were coming. I asked Kim, you know, grab my phone. Grab one of the kids. They know that little pattern to break into my phone and call my appointment at 6:30. Josh, tell him I'm not going to make it. Call Joby. Tell him I'm not going to make it. I'm trying to be in control still as I'm like going out of business, right? Call Sharon and get her praying. Sharon that was up here because she's a great prayer. And get me on the prayer chain. And this is all happening while now the ambulance is coming. Very quickly, this is one of the things that God did to show me his love and grace, breaking in the midst of still having trouble. That's what I'm talking about. Trouble in the earth, but if we know Jesus, If we become a follower of him, he changes everything. Not only is his presence there to go through it with us, he's got a lot of resource. And the way he initiates that typically is in partnership with people that follow him. It was not a coincidence that Tricia was at our house. It seemed like a coincidence. But if she hadn't been there, I don't know where I'd be today. But God in his grace foresaw what was happening, and there were other pieces like that that I hope I'll remember as I tell you this story. So soon I was in an ambulance on my way to Tri-City Hospital. It's not far from where we live, and I don't really remember the ride, but I do remember getting there and the doctor that met me saying they wanted to give me a CAT scan, a CT scan, to see if I had any hemorrhaging in the brain. And if I didn't, then they could give me a stroke-busting miracle called a TPA that I think is kind of like Drano for your arteries, I think. So, you know, it gets the clogs out. And, you know, but they need permission because it could kill you if you have brain hemorrhaging. Because I think it's probably a master blood thinner. I don't really know, but maybe Laura will help me with that. And I said, yeah, please do that. They did that. And on we went in the ER room. Now, those of you that know, got an invite from me or saw on Facebook what we're doing today, I told you that I was going to invite a neurologist who was there and oversaw my case in the hospital to join me. So I want to introduce Dr. Laura Desidier. So, and it's pretty amazing that she can be here. She's a neurologist at a hospital. She has 3 children. Yesterday they were in L.A. at a taekwondo sparring tournament.
A rumble.
And they had soccer going, I think. Her husband is an emergency room physician that oversees. So they are 2 busy people. And she goes to our church, too, when she can be in town, right, when she can be here. So she joined us today. And I thought it would be fun and helpful to hear a little perspective from the medical side of what happens when you have a stroke, because I didn't know, and what it looks like maybe when God intervenes and changes the story a little bit. So like my dad, someone that was dead comes back, or someone that had a stroke has blood flow where he shouldn't. So she's going to take a few minutes to just kind of describe the medical side of this. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Like, what are you going to say, no?
That's right.
Right? So go ahead,
if I
Laura.
Talk too much, you said you'd kick me.
Yeah, I'm going to
so
kick her if the time goes too long.
I may kick back. So this is Ron Ost, and we just love him. He's a great guy. And
that's
this
nice
is Ron's
slide,
story for God's glory. Really, that's what this is. So just to give everyone a little context, and let me know if this sounds okay.
It
I feel like I'm talking
great.
Loud to myself. But context of what is a stroke, so you can understand the full realization, I think, of what you went through. You know, there's 2 types of strokes, right? A bleeding stroke and a non-bleeding stroke. And what Ron suffered was a non-bleeding stroke. There you go. So an acute stroke, and this is an ischemic stroke, a non-bleeding stroke, and it's caused by a lack of blood flow in a blood vessel. And it can either be a small little petering vessel that peters out or multiple blood vessels that have, for whatever reason, a decrease in blood flow, most commonly from a blood clot or from a small vessel that kind of peters out over time. Just in general, because most people here, just statistically speaking, know someone who's had a stroke. But beyond this experience, probably know someone that has a stroke because it's such a leading healthcare issue. Right, 5th leading cause of disability or death, right, still the leading cause of disability in the United States. So it is a big healthcare issue. Disability associated with stroke long term, you know, hemiparesis or weakness on one side, problems thinking, problems talking, problems walking. Stroke takes that from you because it's an area of your brain that no longer functioning. And you go from being an independent functioning individual to someone who has to recover back to as baseline as possible. In that setting, 26% of people who suffer from stroke are institutionalized, meaning your skilled nursing level disability after stroke. So just to kind of get a context of that. An old stroke, people always ask me, what happens after stroke? And I say, you don't grow your brain back, right? It's injured, it's gone. This is a picture just on pathology of an old stroke. This was a bleeding stroke, which is much more devastating, but at the same time, the tissue's gone. And you have to kind of get the rest of the brain around, rewired as much function as possible with rehab. All right, so one more. In general, because this is North County, and I'm the neurohospitalist at Tri-City, so I said, if I don't do a little stroke education and tell you people what are signs and symptoms of a stroke? I have not done my part as a physician. So signs and symptoms, I would say sudden onset of vision problems, sudden onset of weakness, sudden onset dizziness, sudden onset of problems speaking. It's a lack of blood flow into a vessel. If that happened in your arm, it would turn cold and blue and be painful, right? If it happens in your brain, you're missing a function. It's suddenly, and you're not who you are. Even though part of you is still trying to direct traffic as you're like, no, no, cancel this appointment, cancel this. And I think Ken was saying, I almost put a cold washcloth on him. Like, take a knee. But it's a sudden onset of it happening. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see that on a time onset, you lose almost every 4 years of brain aging, every hour of stroke that's gone without treatment. And this isn't a large vessel stroke. So you're losing 2 million neurons every minute that's happening, right? So this is a large vessel occlusion, similar to what Ron suffered, where a big artery, a big pipe was blocked off, right? And that's a lot of brain. That's grandma, the memory of this, all these associations, everything that makes you you in your brain is just dying. And that's why the minute you get a call for stroke, Trish saved your life. Right, 911 is the answer because your body may not resolve symptoms, and if you don't get in immediately, there is a possibility for treatment, which you were a candidate for. Thank the Lord. All right. So I'm at home, right? I know Bryce and our kids go to school together, and I get, you know, early morning at 6, and we're getting ready, and I start call at 7. And it's been a long week. I mean, we were talking at that picnic just the week before, and Ron was trying to introduce me to people. He's like, now what is it you do? And I'm like, my neurologist that works in the hospital, a neuro hospital. It's kind of a new concept we're doing in medicine now. And he says, so what do you do? I'm like, listen, if you see me in the hospital, you're having a bad day. You don't want to see me in the hospital.
Like a week before she told me that.
In fact, if you see me and a rheumatologist, those are like the two rare disease people, if you see us in the hospital, really having a bad day. And I think you met me and a rheumatologist
during
your hospital stay. Right? And this is just that picnic before that we had made that conversation. And it's simply because I'm at home getting ready, and I get that first text message stream that says, incoming stroke 20 minutes out. And God bless my kids for their resiliency, because I start hollering, hurry up, we gotta go. Because in the early morning, it's usually real. It's not everyone visiting grandma in the nursing home and say, she's a little different. It's someone who's getting ready for work, who's doing something, and it's going to be a real stroke. Within a few minutes, you know, we're getting ready, rushing out, and I get the next page that's on my call system. And it's R-O-N-O-H-S-T. And I was like, oh. And I looked at my parents, and my mom was getting ready to go to the hospital herself for an ablation that day.
Oh, wow.
And I said, say a prayer. Say a prayer. There's a big stroke coming in. Say a prayer because you can't do HIPAA, et cetera. But you can pray anytime. And so we get going, and I get the phone call, and you're too young for this. And I thought, oh, it's a bleed. It's a bleed. It's going to be a bleed. What do you do? Because bleeds are even worse. And yet at the same time, an ischemic stroke is not a good thing because you're too young for this. All right? So if you go to the next slide, this on the, I guess it's y'all's left, is a normal CAT scan, and the one on the right is a stroke on the right side of the head, a non-bleeding stroke, all that gray tissue. And the reason in stroke in young people, young being younger than 65, you, my heart racing as I'm driving in, because this was my patient the day before, 54-year-old mother,
oh, wow,
had a stroke, mother of four, oldest daughter, pregnant, and they took her off life support the night before, because she had suffered such a massive ischemic stroke that what happens is the brain swells and it starts pushing on the other side of the brain, the healthy tissue, and it cuts off the draining veins and the arteries that feed it, and that side starts stroking, and there's edema, and there's nowhere for it to go. Older people, you start getting a little more room in your head for stroke, just in general. So you tolerate insult a little better, but young brains, healthy brain, there's no room for swelling. And if it's on the dominant hemisphere for most of us, your left side, there's nothing we do. And if you don't get there in time for treatment, or if treatment doesn't work. And if it's on the right side of your head, you take the skull off, and that's about the only treatment we have. And we just say, well, let the swelling go somewhere, and let's see where this goes. So it's a devastating incident.
Wow.
And so my heart, seeing this, coming into the emergency room, walking out and seeing your daughter, your son, and Kim and thinking, oh, another prayer going up. God, I don't know if I could do a conference with them. Please spare me this. Let's spare Ron. Heal this man. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is Ron Scantz. This is so much going on, and it all needed to be included. So he had a dissection of the vertebral artery going up. You have four pipes into your head, your vertebral arteries in the back, and your carotids in the front. And the left vertebral artery was completely sheared and closed off, so dissected, right? Higher up, there is complete occlusion of the vessel, but another filler was kind of filling it up. He had a complete occlusion of the posterior cerebral artery on the right side of the head, secondary to a clot we could see sitting there. And then he had all over his head, all the little tinier blood vessels and pipes were just narrowed down, multifocal narrowing, complete loss of blood flow to the head. And it said, look suggestive of vasculitis, most likely. Vasculitis being a condition of your arteries where they're inflamed, and you meet a rheumatologist and a neurologist. It's a rare condition, but it can cause severe stroke. So you got treatment with TPA, mm-hmm. Okay, and that's the clot busting medication. We also, for concerns of vasculitis, gave a big whopping dose of steroids, and we put you in the ICU and we prayed. Ryan, I think across the world, people started praying for this man. And when I came to the ICU the next day and saw you, you said, you're looking at me really funny. And I'm thinking, it's because you're smiling and looking at me. You have no idea overnight, because we don't know if the brain's gonna permit swelling and it's gonna do a little bit and temper down, or if it's gonna be my patient the other day, who it just continues and continues, and despite treatment, there's nothing we can do. And it's catastrophic and devastating. And he does, I'm like, I'm smiling and talking. Yeah, I'm just looking at you funny. I'm looking at you like, yes, thank God, look at you, right? So then we go on through treatment, and this is your strokes here. So this is on the cerebellum and the balance center, that little white spot. This is on MRI, and it's just demonstrating an area where there's no blood flow, so it's injured tissue. And this is the balance center on the left side, so causing problems with balance on the left side of the body. And then your other stroke was a large one in the posterior medial temporal lobe, which affects memory, cognitive function, language, speaking, all those processes that kind of go together to a certain degree, and vision, right? And this was more swollen, actually, in the ICU, because you had such compressed and loss of vision that recovered a lot to a certain degree. And then on this next one is the thalamic stroke, and this is that other bright spot, and that's the relay center in the brain. The thalamus is kind of like this huge, all the fibers go up, go to the thalamus, and go back out. It's the big relay center in the brain. And you had three big strokes in all those distributions. So this is kind of, and I really wanted to get some scrolling films, because there's so much that went into all of this. But the one on the left, and it really doesn't demonstrate it well, and the one on the right is after. So this is your initial CAT scan and angiogram. And if you can see, there's just a general loss of vessels. If you can tell all those white lines that go into the brain. I was trying to get it where I could scroll and you could get the concept of it's a sphere, right? And all throughout there are these penetrating arteries and all this other area that on the one on the right was completely lacking and abnormal, to the point where we saw a blood clot. And normally if we give someone that clot-busting medicine, and we see the clot, you try to take it out, suction it out, kind of little devices we do now. And we talked to the interventionalist, and they said, no way am I getting near those vessels with a 10-foot pole. That is such an inflamed vasculitic brain. It'll cause more damage. So we just said we left it. We didn't want to touch it because it was so inflamed. And then this is the scan where we were scanning through, and Dr. Sadoff, one of the other neurologists, our nurse practitioner, the neuroradiologist, they actually were saying, do we even have the right person? Line up the nasal bones, line up the eye bones. Are those the same heads? Because on this follow-up scan, and this kind of poorly shows it, but there was all the blood flow back.
Amazing.
All the blood flow back in the head. This doesn't show it too well. But the follow-up final report, and this is the next slide, and the follow-up report says no signs of vasculitis in the circolith. All the vessels are patent and open now. Recanalization, which means where that blood clot was and we couldn't even take it out, it's reopened. Recanalization of the P2 segment of the posterior cerebral artery. No narrowing irregularity. So,
awesome.
We went over the scans, and I met with the other neurologist, and we talked. He said, Laura, this is impossible. Do you think they even scanned the right guy? And we once again, we're like a little troop of people in the hospital, you know, like kind of four of us together, and we go to this guy's office, run back and forth. Let's look at that again and think about this. And this is what we were doing, and it's, nope, was the same guy. What do you think happened? I said, well, you know, and we spoke about it. I said, if you have the entire world raising someone's name up to the Lord, right, around the world, and it's in God's hands, because at all times we're raising up loved ones, and it doesn't always turn out well. Right? It doesn't always turn out perfectly, but the whole world, around the world, people are saying, God, we still need this guy here. There's a lot of work that he's influencing us, and we need him here. Keep him around. We need this guy here, and your scan comes back, and it's not even a single bit of irregularity. That's and I amazing. Say, you can explain that with steroids. Can this be the 1% case? Very rare. And I say, if you have a whole world praying for you, I think it could be just called a miracle.
Yeah.
Common things being common. I think it's a miracle.
Awesome. You know? Thank you.
And not even to mention other answers to prayer that go along the way. Will the rehab insurance, right? Will all these little pieces, will this go through? Will this go through? Driving again.
Yeah. That's fun.
Right? Right.
Thank you, Laura. Dr. Desidier. Wasn't she great? That was perfect. Love you. Bless you. Some people think there's not that many coincidences in the world. And I kind of think God was at work here. What do you think? Well, so that was really helpful. Interesting. Thank you so much. Well, some other pieces that happened. I mean, I think the fact that we'd be in relationship, and she'd be the one that got the call. I think the Lord's hand was on that. I'm sure his hand was on Trish being there. The night before, it's Thursday night, I'm at our home fellowship. You know how Kim was talking about our small groups? I really value them. So I'm at our home fellowship. It's been a fairly stressful day that day. I had to race to get there. I think I was leading worship for us. We sing like we did on Sunday mornings. We sing in our small group. I remember it, I was leading worship that night because I think I had raced from Bryce's tennis tournament in Coronado or something. Is that right, Shannon? Yeah. It was a really busy day. Thursday night before this all happened, Shannon, whose home is where we meet, while we were worshiping the Lord, she has what is called a vision. A vision is one of the things that God uses to speak to his people. And what it means is she had a picture in her mind of something that just wasn't natural. It just came. And she had this vision while we're singing. And she said, you know, I had this vision. I think we have to pray for Ron. I don't think he's safe. This is Thursday night before I had a stroke. She said, I saw you like in this four-wheel drive vehicle. And you're going like 100 miles an hour over all these boulders, and it was just crazy, and I don't even know what it means, but we need to pray for you. So they gathered around, like when we prayed for Fiona, for Jose and Fiona, and they laid hands on me and just prayed for protection for me. And Shannon felt like the Lord said, Ron, you need to stop and rest at the oasis, I think was the language, right? So they prayed for me. Can you believe that? The kingdom of God. God, who knows the future, calls his family together to pray for me before I even have the thing that they're praying for me happen. And if you believe and understand how prayer works, you go, yeah, I get it. That makes sense. Well, and very quickly on Friday morning while I'm on my way to the hospital, people literally around the planet are praying. Eddie and Bethany that you know sent a text. The Cambodia church is praying for you. Friends in the vineyard in Chile were at a conference together launching a nationwide association of vineyard churches in Chile, and they got word, and the USA director of the vineyard sent word to me. They were praying for me. Our friends in Zambia were praying. In Kenya, where Rich and Stacy are, they began praying for us, for me. In India, I got word from Sunny that some of you have met, who oversees vineyard churches in India, said, our churches are praying for you. then I would meet people later on who said they went to church on Sunday a couple days later somewhere in San Diego, and they said they found out that I had a stroke because their pastor of their church stopped the service and their church began praying for me. So all around San Diego, but literally around the globe, thousands of people, like Dr. Desider said, were lifting someone up before the Lord, and the Lord saw fit to answer and do a miracle. Isn't that amazing? Kind of a funny part of the story is the other neurologist that oversees the whole works there at the hospital is trying to figure out why a young man like me has this vertebral artery shorn off, torn apart inside, dissected. What happened? And his question was, have you been to an amusement park recently? Which is not good advertising for Disneyland, I would guess. But I said, yes, I was just at Disneyland on Wednesday. I was there with my daughter's school group who had something with their choir. They got to go work in the studio side and then have a day at Disneyland. Well, did you ride Space Mountain? I was like, of course I rode Space Mountain. What do you do at Disneyland? And the Indiana Jones ride and anything that looked like a roller coaster, I was on that one. And apparently the moving around of your heads like this caused there to be a dissection in that artery. Well, it turns out that the vision that Shannon had, she later described, she didn't say it at the time because it seemed almost silly. She saw me on what looked exactly like that Indiana Jones ride. Have you ever been on that? Where you're in that four-wheel drive vehicle and you're going over the boulders and you're going like 100 miles an hour. That's what she saw, and that's what I was on. And my perception, I couldn't prove it, my perception is that on that ride, I injured my artery. And that dissected it, yeah. And that God cared. And he told my sister in a gathering of Christians, look at this picture, you need to pray for him. Because although he's God and could, if he wanted to, just immediately do something sort of magical, just jump in and fix something, he almost always chooses to do things through people that know him. He's God, so he can choose to do that. That's the way he wants to run the universe. He can run the universe. He's the Lord. I'm not. In fact, I heard Alan Scott up in Anaheim say recently, it's kind of funny and helpful, the difference between God and you is that God never thinks he's you. Right? So he's Lord. I'm not. And if he chooses to do things in a certain way through people, that's what happens. So I think maybe on the Indiana Jones ride, I had some problems, and I almost died. But God had my family praying for me. And then he had my great big family around the globe praying for me. And then he had my sister staying at my house saying, go to the hospital. Then he had a neurologist who knows the Lord get the call and begin praying for me. And as a witness to people she works with, say, you know what, the whole planet's playing for this guy. Could we just call it a miracle? Because apparently what happened shouldn't have happened outside of intervention. I think, people, that God is real. That he does care. That he takes care of his own. It doesn't always go the way we wish it would go. It would have been better for me, I personally think, if I never had a stroke. But I believe him when he says, I will be with you in trouble, and it'll change everything, and I will cause everything that happens to you, you who have decided to become a follower of Jesus, you who love Jesus, you who have made him Lord, you didn't get confused and think you're Lord, you decided that he's Lord and you said, you know what, I'm saying you are my Lord, I will follow you. For those, he says, I will cause everything that happens to you to work together for your good. So I can tell you that as I was in the ICU room, funny things were happening to my body. I had some, at that time, some paralysis, and my right side was kind of shaking a lot. My left side, my arm was kind of spasming like this. It was kind of funny. My leg sometimes kicking up. And I don't think I was very fearful. Steve Rogers was there quickly. A lot of friends were there. And he told me, Ron, I know you. You were scared. So as an eyewitness, maybe I was scared. But on the other side, from inside me, and my memory is, I was saying, Lord, you cause all things to work together for the good of those who love you. So I have a feeling you're going to cause this to work together for my good. I'm really curious how you're going to do that. I'm kind of excited about it. I bet it's going to be cool. I also had, just the week before, the Sunday before, shared with many of you on up here, vision I have for our county. Vision for God's work in our county. And I said, Lord, I think you gave me that vision, that heart cry to see your work accomplished in our county. I imagine what you're going to do is use what I'm going through right now to even make that better, aren't you? I remember saying, Lord, you're my strong tower. I run to you and I'm safe. And you're good. And I love you. And Jesus, I love you. God, I worship you. Be glorified in this time. And I had an experience of peace. Now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus that way, you can. You can put your trust in him. You can say, I want to follow you. In fact, you know, Jesus walked around the earth a couple thousand years ago, a couple days from God's perspective, and he would consistently walk up to people and say, come, follow me. The kingdom of God has come. I'm the guy. Follow me. And people sometimes would leave their businesses, leave everything, and follow him. Some of us that have followed him haven't left our businesses. I didn't have to do that when I said yes to him. Some of you have left everything. Some of you haven't left a lot. It's different for every person. But the point is, we are invited to look to Jesus, who said he was the Son of God, said he would die for the sins of the entire world, and that he would begin making things right individually and in the entire planet. Let me be king. Follow me. I'll put my spirit in you. I'll change you. I'll be with you in all your troubles, and everything will change. Now, literally billions of us around the globe. Picture that. This is a man who's poor in a small town in the Middle East. Now the entire globe knows him. His name is proclaimed around the globe. It's because he is who he said he was. It's because he did die, and he did rise from the dead. And he changed follower after follower after follower. And the thing I want in my life is that my life would be a witness to you. That if you're someone who's here and you've never said, that's it, I'm going to go beyond knowing about God, thinking about him, maybe offering a prayer when I'm in trouble, I'm going to go beyond that and I'm going to look to him and say, yes, I want to follow you. I want to, with my mouth, say, you are Lord. If you begin that life, everything changes. And you might get a miracle like I've had, the kind of evidence that, yes, God is alive, he answers prayers, things that shouldn't be medically possible happen, things that shouldn't be possible naturally, like people knowing about a stroke before it happens, but not calling that, but praying for the person before it happens. Things like a community, a family that cares for you in trouble. Thank you, all of you who have loved me and my family so well. That's because of Jesus. Some of you came and made meals for my family. Some of you prayed for me. Some of you gave me rides when I couldn't drive. That's what this new world is like. People who aren't perfect yet, but they're different, showing incredible love for each other. There's a new family, a new community, a new creation. It's happening in the earth today. And if you haven't joined that group of people, hear it from me. You probably know me. If you're here, you probably know me. I'm telling you. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus today. Say, you know what? I want what that guy has. He says that he has peace. He says he has an awareness of the very Spirit of God living in him. I do. And I want you to have it. I want you to have the same thing. The world will be better for it. Because the more people begin following Jesus, the more his kingship is spread around the globe. And things change. Think about it. In South Africa, not too long ago, we had apartheid. But because of the work of God, an invisible kingdom, when that evil system ended, there wasn't massive bloodshed. But because some people who believe in Jesus prayed and stood up for what was right, it ended. And a kingdom was tumbled, and God's kingdom reigned. Just not in the way anyone anticipated. There were no weapons. And now, the unheard of, there's a commission to bring reconciliation to those who've wounded each other, and forgiveness is happening. That's amazing. And it's the kingdom of God. That kind of thing is happening around our planet because the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, is real. What Jesus said when he said, the kingdom of God is now. It has come. It's near. And he also said, pray for the kingdom to come because it's not yet. It's both. We live in this overlapping time, waiting for the day when he does absolutely return and establish his good rule and reign across the planet. But we have the choice now to say, yes, I want to follow you. I want to come under your dominion, and I want to be part of this community of people who are learning to be like you, Jesus, not only by their own efforts, but by the power of your Spirit in us. And we're changing things. We're feeding poor people. We're helping addicts get set free. We're taking care of the abused. We're taking care of orphans around the world. We're seeing change by your Spirit. But I'm going to invite you right now to perhaps draw a line in the sand and make a decision to become a follower of Jesus. Many of us, most of us probably in this room, had a day where we said yes. Now listen, you don't have a life change because you raise your hand at a meeting or say a particular prayer. You have a life change because you're drawn by God to follow Jesus, and you say yes, and you begin to follow him. It means you were going one direction, thinking that you were the Lord of your life, and you turn around, and you go this direction. You're not over there yet, but you're walking this way. You're walking this way. And God joins you and begins to change you from the inside. Anyone experience that? Yeah, lots of us. I want to invite you, if you're here and you haven't done that, to say to Jesus, okay, I choose to follow you. I have lots of doubts, perhaps, but I have just enough faith to say, yes, I want you to be my king and my Lord, and I want you to give me new life on the inside, my old life to die, for me to be raised to new life on the inside so that everything changes. That's what I'm asking you to do right now. And let me just talk to God with us for a second. Father, words are nice, but they're really not very useful if there's not some action behind them. And Lord, I've talked a lot, but I'm asking that you would cause your Holy Spirit to come and rest upon us people, and that you would make the truth of who you are real in the hearts of the people here. That they would have a gift of faith like you gave me and many of us. That we'd find ourselves able to trust you. Come, Holy Spirit, be upon us. So if you want to follow Jesus, say, I'll say a prayer and ask you to repeat it. How about that? We'll try that. Say, Jesus, and you can do this if you're not standing, you want to. It's not the standing isn't the magic. It's the heart before God. Say, Jesus, I choose to follow you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I ask you to come live in me. I ask you to come and make things right inside of me. I ask you to come and heal the many wounds in my heart. I ask you to help me. You said you came to help people. Help me. I ask you to give me peace. I ask you to show me how to live. I ask you to give me new life. From this day on, I want to follow you. From this day on, I want to know you. Would you also forgive me? You know all the things I've done wrong. You know the things that I wouldn't tell anyone. I'm sorry. Forgive me and clean me up. Help me to live right for you. Show me the way to go. Amen.